Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily. Fantastic to have you tuning in again.
Great to be here.
So we've got, well, a fascinating trio of stories brewing for you today. Each one's a deep dive into a different corner of the cyber world. Think sophisticated digital espionage, a surprisingly clever way to disable your computer's defenses, and then a stark look at the real-world impact when personal data gets exposed.
Yeah, quite a mix.
Let's get right into it. First up, we're going to unpack this global cyber espionage campaign. It's been active since 2023, codenamed Round Press.
Right.
Now, the targets here really caught my eye. I mean, we're talking governments in places like Greece and Ukraine, military units, again, Ukraine and Ecuador, defense companies across Eastern Europe, and even critical infrastructure in Ukraine and Bulgaria.
Yeah, these aren't random targets at all. High value. Very specific.
It definitely suggests a really focused, high-stakes operation, right? Aimed at gathering some seriously sensitive information.
Absolutely. The selection, you know, it strongly indicates state-sponsored activity.
Yeah.
Gathering geopolitical military intel. That's the vibe.
And the way they're getting in is, well, it's alarmingly ingenious. Simple, almost.
Oh, so.
It starts with spear phishing emails. You know, the crafted ones that look legit.
Standard playbook so far.
But the real punch is malicious JavaScript code embedded directly in the email body.
Okay, embedded, not an attachment?
Exactly. And here's the crazy part, just opening the email is enough. The script just runs.
Wow. No clicks, no downloads.
Nope. Just opening it. That makes you think twice about every email, doesn't it?
It really does. It bypasses that user interaction step where someone might get suspicious. Very efficient, unfortunately.
Okay, so this hidden JavaScript, it springs to life just by opening the email. What's it actually do?
Right, the payload.
Apparently, it's designed to create invisible fields on the webmail page you're looking at.
Invisible fields, like a trap.
Yeah, exactly. Like a digital honey trap to trick your browser or password manager into auto-filling your stored logins.
Ah, clever. Stealing credentials without the user even typing them.
But it doesn't stop there. This script is also programmed to just scoop up everything. Email content, contact settings, login history, even those, you know, all important two-factor authentication details, and of course, passwords. It's a full sweep.
That's comprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
Targeting the 2FA mechanisms shows a deep understanding of how these systems work.
Yeah.
And they send it back using standard web traffic.
Yep. HTTP POST requests to try and blend in, I guess.
A common tactic. Harder to spot amongst normal traffic.
Now, this is where it gets really interesting, technically. This Round Press campaign, it's been exploiting specific weaknesses, XSS vulnerabilities, and different webmail products.
Right, cross-site scripting.
Yeah.
Injecting their code into the webmail interface itself.
Exactly. Back in 2023, they were hitting RoundCube, which is pretty popular, just by embedding the JavaScript right in the email body. Simple.
Okay.
Then, early 2024, they found another way into RoundCube, this time injecting script tags through, like, cleverly disguised hyperlink text.
So adapting their methods as things get patched.
Sneaky stuff. But the real head scratcher for me is the zero day they found in MDaemon. That's another email server. This was late 2024.
A zero day. Okay, so unpublished, unknown vulnerability. That's serious.
Very. It involved using a weirdly malformed title attribute with some code that looks like nonsense. No embedim on error.
The owner handler trick. Using image tags to execute script.
Right. It looks like gibberish, but it's a way to hide and trigger the malicious code. And what's really nasty about this one, it could bypass 2FA by grabbing app passwords.
Ouch. That undermines a key security layer many people rely on. Exploiting a zero day and bypassing MFA. That points to pretty advanced capabilities.
Definitely underscores the importance of patching, but also shows even strong measures aren't foolproof if the underlying software is flawed.
True.
They even took a swing at Horde, another webmail client, using a similar MMG honorer trick. Seems like modern filters might have stopped that one, though.
Oh, okay. Some defense work there.
Yeah. And it might be related to a more recent flaw, CVE-2025-30349, which actually has a fix out now for Debian systems. So a small win if you're patched.
Good. Patching remains critical.
And let's not forget Zimbra. They found a way to inject JavaScript just by viewing a calendar invite through some header information.
Calendar invites, too. They really are probing every angle of interaction.
It's like they're meticulously examining everything. Mm-hmm. Now, while there haven't been reported Round Press attacks in 2025 yet.
Yeah, techniques are still out there.
Exactly. Researchers warn these methods are still relevant. New XSS flaws pop up all the time, so this could easily come back.
A persistent threat.
And finally, attribution. It's believed with medium confidence. This is APT-28. Fancy bear, sedn't it?
The Russian state-sponsored group. It's their profile, targeting governments.
Yeah.
Critical infrastructure for espionage. Makes sense given the targets and sophistication.
Yeah, not a huge surprise there. Okay, let's switch gears. Something maybe a bit more tangible for individual Windows users.
Right.
There's a new tool making waves. Name's pretty direct. DefendNot.
DefendNot. Okay, see where this is going.
Yep. Its sole purpose. Disable Microsoft Defender on Windows. And you might think that takes serious hacking, but the approach is surprisingly, well, simple but clever.
Interesting. How does it work? Is it exploiting a bug?
Not exactly a bug in the traditional sense. It leverages a legitimate, albeit undocumented feature. It tricks Windows into thinking another antivirus is installed.
Ah, okay. By registering a fake AV product with the Windows Security Center, the WSC.
Precisely. Using an undocumented WSC API. And it doesn't even need a real third-party AV. It just pretends.
Right, because Windows is designed to disable Defender if another AV registers itself to avoid conflicts.
Exactly right. It exploits that built-in behavior. Registers a phantom AV and Defender steps aside.
Clever abuse of a system feature. Who's behind this?
A researcher known as EC3N1N. Apparently, it was inspired by an older project, NoDefender, that ran into some legal trouble. Copyright issues, probably.
Yeah, they can happen in security research.
Yeah.
Treading fine lines.
So DefendNot avoids that by using its own custom-built dummy antivirus DLL, like a fake software component.
A clean room implementation, sort of. Okay. But how does it get past WSC's own protections? Things like PPL, digital signatures.
Good question. WSC is meant to be protected, right? Protected process light, signature checks.
Yeah, stops random programs messing with security settings.
So this is the ingenious or maybe concerning part. It injects its fake DLL into a legitimate trusted Windows process.
Which one?
Task Manager. Taskmgr.exe.
Wow. Okay, Task Manager is signed by Microsoft, highly trusted. Injecting into that would bypass a lot of checks.
Exactly. It piggybacks on Task Manager's trust. From inside taskngr.exe, it can then register the dummy AV with WSCC, even give it a fake name.
And WSC accepts it because it's coming from a trusted process.
Bingo. And the result, instantaneous. Fake AV registered. Boom. Microsoft Defender is turned off. Device vulnerable.
Like disabling the alarm and unlocking a door, as you said, that's worrying, even as a research tool. Shows a clear path for attackers.
Totally. And the tool even includes a loader configuration options via a file. Set the fake AV name, disable registration for testing, enable logging.
Making it more user-friendly in a way.
And persistence. It creates an auto-run entry using the Windows task scheduler so it stays off even after a reboot.
Pretty sneaky. Ensures Defender stays disabled.
Now, the silver lining, I guess, is that Microsoft Defender is catching on to this. It reportedly detects and quarantines DefendNot now, identified as win32sabsic.fl.ml.
Okay, so detection signatures are updated. The arms race continues.
It is, but it definitely makes you think how trusted system parts can be abused, doesn't it?
It really does. A classic example of exploiting assumptions in system design.
Okay, finally, let's turn to a story that brings all this cyber threat stuff right into the real lives of, well, hundreds of thousands of people.
Right.
Nova Scotia Power, a major Canadian utility, confirmed a significant data breach. Lots of customer info compromised.
Utilities are big targets. Huge amounts of personal data.
And this is a big utility. Over 500,000 customers, like 95% market share in Nova Scotia. Big energy network. A breach here has potentially widespread impact.
Absolutely. Critical infrastructure, sensitive data, high stakes.
The timeline is, well, it raises some questions. They found unauthorized access April 28th this year, confirmed potential data theft May 1st, detailed update May 18th.
Okay.
But the troubling part. The actual initial breach happened way earlier, March 19th.
March 19th. So almost 2 months between the breach and customers being fully informed. That's a long time.
A very long time for sensitive data to be out there without people knowing they need to protect themselves.
That delay is a major concern. Prompt notification is crucial.
And the list of what was stolen is, it's extensive. Really sensitive. Full names, phone numbers, emails, mailing, and service addresses.
Basic contact info.
Details on energy program participation, dates of birth, full account history consumption, service requests, billing, credit history, customer correspondence.
Wow, that's a lot of detail. Useful for social engineering.
It gets worse. Driver's license numbers, social insurance numbers, the SIN, highly sensitive in Canada.
Oh, wow. SIN numbers, that's bad.
and for some customers, even bank account numbers.
Okay, that's a potential goldmine for identity theft, financial fraud, very serious breach.
Extremely. Now, thankfully, they did state electricity production and distribution weren't affected. That's a relief.
Good. Operational system safe. That's critical.
But internal operations were disrupted during their response. And they've said, you know, so far, no evidence the data has been misused.
Which is good, but doesn't mean it won't be. Constant vigilance needed for those affected.
Absolutely. To try and mitigate, they're offering 2 years free credit monitoring via TransUnion.
Standard response.
Yeah.
Necessary.
And advising everyone to be super vigilant about phishing emails or calls pretending to be the utility.
Crucial advice. Criminals will definitely leverage this data for targeted scams.
Interestingly, no ransomware group has claimed responsibility yet.
Hmm. They could mean data theft for resale or espionage, or maybe the claim just hasn't surfaced yet. Leaves the motive a bit unclear for now.
So yeah, there you have it. Three pretty distinct stories from the cyber front lines.
Yeah, from nation-state espionage via webmail.
To a tool undermining built-in defenses.
And the tangible impact of a major data breach on ordinary people.
They really underscore the persistent evolving nature of these threats, don't they? It's not just the big flashy stuff. Often it's subtle exploitation, existing vulnerabilities, trusted systems.
Exactly. Adaptable adversaries constantly probing for weaknesses.
We really hope this deep dive gave you a clearer picture of the challenges, the techniques involved. Keep these stories in mind as you, you know, navigate your digital day.
Staying informed is definitely a crucial first step.
Absolutely. Join us again tomorrow on Cyber Mornings Daily for more insights. Now, here's something to really chew on. Given these constant new vulnerabilities, new attack methods, what are the proactive steps? Beyond just reacting, what can individuals, what can organizations really do to get ahead, to truly enhance security?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely something worth pondering.